Well, it's that time again. And the doctor is in. I'm having an interesting day. Hope you are too. I just recorded well over, two-thirds of the podcast, and the little timer was not going, which made me feel like perhaps there was a problem. And so I went back and checked it, and guess what? It wasn't recording. The software was set in an odd configuration, and instead of just giving me an error message, it didn't do anything at all. It just made me think I was recording when I wasn't. So I'm a little bummed, but that's okay. Not to mention the fact that, as I mentioned in the earlier recording, that no one heard but me, my voice is not cooperating with me very much today. It's a little bit on the rough side. So I apologize in advance for, shall we say, technical difficulties with the vocal apparatus and the technical difficulties with the hardware that meant that I couldn't get the recording done that I was doing. Why don't we just take a slight, tiny little break?
The show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's here. And if it's tech that's malfunctioning, it's here as well, because I earlier recorded the podcast. But it didn't record. I'm just going to count to 10 now, and while I do that, let's play that again.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Okay, I feel better now. Okay, thank you for putting up with that. All right, here we go. Let's go back to the blog, as I just did a few minutes ago, but you didn't hear me, and we'll talk about what happened. First blog entry after last week's podcast, which, by the way, I got the number wrong on again. I said it was podcast number 24. It was really podcast number 25. And this, then, by simple process of elimination, is podcast number 26. So, you're listening to Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, podcast number 26 for March 4th, 2006. Hooray. Okay. Okay, get over it, Dr. Bill. It's okay. It's okay. Our first blog entry is, someone listened closely to me last week and said, when I said that if you have a problem, send me an email, I'll help you fix your problem. And one of our faithful listeners, Kai, did just that. So our first blog entry is, the doctor makes a house call. End quotes. Here's what she said. She sent a message saying, hey, what's up, doc? I don't know if you've already talked about this, but I hope it's okay to ask. It's always okay to ask. Don't worry about that. I have a log file named trace.txt on my computer located at C Windows System 32 log files WMI that is always taking up space on my computer until it takes up all the room on my hard drive so that I can't save or download anything. The only way I can get my space back is to restart and go through the same problem after I've logged in. I ran my McAfee spyware and virus protection, and I also ran Adaware and Spybot Search and Destroy, but none of them found anything. I tried deleting it, but it said it was being used, so I found out that WMIPRVSE.exe was using it. I used Windows Task Manager to end that process, but every time I ended it, it just kept popping back up. Is there anything I can do to stop this log file from taking up all the room on my PC? Your advice is needed. I know that's got to be frustrating, because you boot your PC, it comes up, it starts writing to this log file, and then finally writes enough to the log file that eventually the thing's just going to come screeching to a halt because you're going to run out of disk space and it's not going to be right anymore. So that's generally considered bad. Okay, so I did a little research and here's what I found out. It turns out that most likely somebody at some time probably ran a program on her computer called BootVIS. Now, BootVIS is not a Trojan spyware or anything along that line. As a matter of fact, it's probably pronounced BootViz, as invisible. But it was indeed written by Microsoft to be helpful. One of the few times they try to do something that's truly helpful. But anyway, they wrote this program because they wanted to be able to see what was happening in the computer as it booted, with the goal of speeding up the computer. And we're talking about speeding up Windows XP this week. And so somebody got really, really serious and ran this program to try to find out what was going on. Well, it can be helpful, but if you leave it turned on, it can cause problems, as she found out. So I found there were two ways that seemed to work to stop this thing from eating up her hard drive. The first way is to remove it from Windows Registry. So here's what you want to do. You want to go to Start, Run, type in RegEdit, R-E-G-E-D-I-T, and click OK. Once you're in the Registry Editor, go to H key local machine, then go to System, then go to Current Control Set, Control, WMI, Global Logger. Once you navigate through the registry tree to that point, you'll see a key named Start. Double click it, and now you can give it a new value. Put a 0 there instead of the 1 that's there now. In other words, if it's logging, it would have a 1. You want to put a 0 to disable it. Binary, right? 0, 1, on, off, that kind of thing. Okay. Then exit the registry, close it down, restart Windows, and the logger won't be running anymore. Cool. All right. Second solution is for those that don't want to mess with editing the registry. If you're one of those, that's fine. I understand. Here's what you can do. During boot, as the system is booting, press the F8 key twice to get to the startup options. Select Safe Mode with Command Prompt. Log in as the administrator. And then at the prompt, navigate to the directory Windows System 32, Log Files, WMI, Trace.log. Now that's the typical name of the file, Trace.log. You can give it pretty much any name you want, and apparently on her computer, somebody had given it the name Trace.txt, which is fine. All right, so you still can't delete the file at this point, but you can use the command attrib attrib for attributes, space plus R, space trace.txt, or whatever the name of your trace file is. Okay, now as I say in my blog entry there, without the quotes, I just have it in quotes to show you that that's the command. Now, once you do that, it will change the attributes of that file. You can then restart Windows normally, go to the File Manager in Windows Explorer, delete the file, create a new empty trace.txt file using Notepad, and save it in the same directory where you deleted the original. Ta-da! That'll work as well. Okay? And what Kai did is she went ahead and used the first method and edited the registry. And then she sent me an email back that says, Doctor, it worked! Cool. Glad it did. Now, some of you may be wondering about that file wmiprvse.exe that she saw in her task manager when she went to look at what was eating up all of her CPU. Well, it turns out that that is the Windows Management Instrumentation component of the Microsoft Windows operating system that provides management information and control in an enterprise environment. Now, the idea is that by using industry standards, managers can use WMI to query and set information on desktop systems, applications, networks, and other enterprise components, and developers can use WMI to create event monitoring applications, like BootViz, that alert users when important incidents occur. Okay? So it was doing merrily just what it was supposed to be doing. It's just that we didn't want it doing that at the moment. There you go. So I would encourage you, once again, if you're having problems, send me those questions. All right? If I don't know the answer, I will research and find the answer. If I can't find the answer, then I'll be really, really embarrassed. Okay? But at that point, I'll simply admit, I don't know. And I'll open it up to our vast audience of knowledgeable PC people and say, dudes, help. Find the answer for me. And they'll write in with the answer, and we will have used the synergistic power of the group intelligence of all of the podcast listeners to solve your problem. Gotta love that. The power of synergy. You can feel it crackling in the air. Yes, indeed. Okay. let's move along. The next item is one that I really like. It's one about running Linux on Tux. Now, as we know, Tux is the little cute penguin that is the symbol, if you will, for Linux. Tux is very cool. I like Tux. So, when I saw this article about a company that had created a computer that looked like Tux, I thought, dude, I'd love to have this. What they did is they took a little plastic Tux, opened it up, and then inside they put a motherboard, CPU, the whole nine yards, a full computer in a little bitty plastic Tux. Dude, this thing rocks. You really need to look at it. Check out the pictures. It's cool. It shows how it's got USB ports and an Ethernet port and the whole nine yards right there in Tux himself. Now, it goes without saying that, of course, you would need to run Linux on Tux. I mean, come on. You wouldn't want to run Windows on it. I mean, that would just be sacrilege. So, no need for a case mod. Dude, you've already got Tux right there ready to roll. That's pretty cool. So, I would encourage you to go check that out. And, you know, if you're looking for something to give the doctor for a thank you present, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind having a Tux of my own, you know, but, no, not very likely. All right, let's move along to our geek software of the week. It's PC Wizard. Now, some of you are going to, wait a minute, I've heard of that before. Yep, you're right. We talked about it last week briefly when we were talking about our XP optimization part one. Part two is coming up very shortly, so hang in there. But anyway, PC Wizard is a very cool tool. It's a powerful utility. It's designed for the detection of hardware and analysis of that hardware. It's able to identify a large number of system components. It supports the latest technologies and standards, and it's periodically updated, usually once a month, which is pretty often, in order to provide accurate results. In other words, they keep coming out with additional hardware, so they have to keep updating it. Pretty neat. It works with many kinds of hardware. It gives results for CPU performance, cache performance, RAM performance, hard disk performance, DVD, CD-ROM performance, removable flash media performance, video performance, and MP3 compression. Yeah, performance. So basically it checks performance. Yeah. Among other things, it's useful because you can find out exactly what your hardware is, exactly, and therefore get just the right drivers for it. So pretty amazing utility. And what impresses me is it is totally 100% free. These guys spend tremendous amounts of time updating it, as they said, every month, and yet it's free, and it's about as cool looking a utility, clean looking, as a commercial utility you might find. So, really, really neat Geek Software of the Week program. Check it out. Alrighty. Now, next item deserves a little explanation. First of all, I'll tell you what, let me hit the pause button for just a moment. In case you're wondering, I had to stop and cough rather raucously, and I didn't want you to have to hear that. So I paused. One of the beauties of podcasting, yes indeed. All right, let me back up and explain just a little bit of where I'm coming from with this next article. First of all, you must understand that your doctor is a genteel soul that doesn't like to use crass terminology. Cursing and things of that nature is just not in my nature. I'm not one of those kinds of folks. So, the title of this article is a little bit crass, all right? And I apologize for that. However, it is based on the name of the article itself. And so I had to convey the information accurately, okay? It's an article by Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols from Desktop Linux, and his article is called Why Windows Vista Will Suck, okay? Now, in his defense, he didn't title it that just because he wanted to be crass. No, he titled it that because earlier in the week, Extreme Tech Magazine had come out with an article called Why Windows Vista Will Not Suck. And so Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols, being the desktop Linux dude that he is, thought, you know, I really need to show them why it will suck. And so that's why I wrote the article. Now, as we know, our friends from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie, you gotta love that name, a few weeks ago when we played their little ditty, Every OS Sucks, seemed to think that every single operating system out there, including Linux, sucks. I can't speak to that in this regard. However, I can give you what Stephen J. Vaughn Nichols says about this issue. Okay? He says, suck is a relative term. Vista will be better than XP, which has easily been Microsoft's best operating system to date. However, Vista also will require far more hardware oomph, oomph being a technical term meaning power, than previous Windows systems. I'd say Intel's recommendations are pretty much a minimum for Vista. I would only add that if you expect to see the fancy desktop, you need to invest in, say, an ATI Radeon Express 200, an NVIDIA InForce 4, or other high-end graphics card. The truth is that very, very few people are going to be upgrading their existing systems to Vista. To make it work well, you're going to need a new computer. If you didn't buy your PC in 2006, I wouldn't even try to run Vista on it. Whoa. Huh. So, we're talking a lot of power. Now, his article goes on to make other comments about Vista that are good, you know, so it's fairly even-handed. But the bottom line is, it's going to take a lot of power. Linux is really cool and doesn't take a lot of power. And I think that's pretty much his point. Yeah. All right. Given that we're talking about performance issues and our Geek Software of the Week was performance software, let's continue with our topic of how to optimize Windows XP Part 2, or in French, Part 2. Actually, I don't know if I pronounced that right. I really took Spanish, you know, when I was in high school, so it would be Part 2. Okay. Anyway, the deal is this. We left off last week with the recommendation that we needed to increase the mouse pointer speed. So let's pick up where we left off and go to the next item on our little checklist, which is to run CheckDisk, CHKDSK, the built-in Windows File System Repair utility. Here's what you want to do. You want to go to Start, to My Computer, right-click on the C drive, left-click on Properties, select the Tools tab, click Check Now, and then check Automatically Fix File System Errors and click Start. Then click Yes and then Reboot. Okay, do this for every hard drive partition in your system. Only the drive partition with Windows installed will require a reboot to do this check. But it is important to perform this check because your hard drive can get these little tiny errors in it that can affect your performance. So, go in there and use it. All right. Now, another item is to use your defragmenter. Okay? If you've never used defrag before, you want to go to Start, Programs, Accessories, System Tools, and Disk Defragmenter. Do that regularly. Defrag your system regularly. Now, I'm a little overboard on using Disk Defragger. I run it about every other few days. Okay, probably you don't need to do that. Okay, I understand. You know, maybe every couple of weeks is fine. I just tend to be a real system tuning nut. I do it all the time. It's what I do for fun. I know that sounds weird, but I just like tuning systems. So, what are you going to do? All right, another item that is overlooked by most everyone that tunes a system is your page file. Now, you may say, what is a page file? Well, that's a long thing to get into, but I'll try to quickly summarize what a page file is. Page file is a segment of your disk that is set aside for the system to page out segments of systems, programs running in memory that are, in effect, swapped out or paged out during other operations. Your system is multitasking, And so it has to keep track of certain pieces of information. So it uses the page file to write to that particular piece of information that it's not currently using. All right. Now, the deal is this section of your hard drive is allocated specifically to be a page file. And it is not allowed, nothing else is allowed to write to this section of your hard drive. But through usage over and over and over, as things get paged out and then pulled off the page file and then paged back and pulled off, your page file can become fragmented just like other parts of your hard drive become fragmented through use. So you want to defragment your page file. Now, in order to do that, you're going to need a special program from sysinternals.com. The folks at sysinternals are really cool. These guys write free utilities for Windows all the time. Very, very neat. So what you want to do is you want to go to www.sysinternals.com/utility/pagedefrag.html and then download that utility and run it. It will defragment the page file and the registry. And then here's the thing about that. One of the limitations of the Windows 2000 XP defragmentation interface is that it is not possible to defragment files that are open for exclusive access, like the page file. The standard defragmentation programs can neither show you how fragmented your paging file or registry halves are, nor can they defragment them. Paging and registry file fragmentation can be one of the leading causes of performance degradation related to file fragmentation in a system. Had to pause again there to cough. Sorry about that. All right, here's what you want to do. You want to download, run, and look at the fragments column of the page defrag utility. If any of the items is more than one fragment, select defrag at next boot and click OK and reboot. Okay? Note, if you readjust the page file size, rerun page defrag. Otherwise, this only needs to be run once. On badly fragmented hard drives with a lot of files, page defrag may take a long time to run, but be patient and let it finish. Okay? Now, next item. Here is what I suspect will be our Geek Software of the Week for the upcoming week. Okay? This is a program called XP Anti-Spy. It is at xp-antispy.org. What it does is rather interesting. There are elements of XP itself written by Microsoft that are suspicious. Microsoft is having Windows do things that you may not want it to do. Can we say we don't entirely trust Microsoft? Yes, I think we can. All right, so what you want to do is you want to disable all the known suspicious functions in Windows XP, and that is what XP Anti-Spy does. Pretty cool. So you want to download it. You want to install it. You want to run it. Go to Profiles, select Neutral, and then check most of the boxes and select Apply, but leave the following unchecked. Are you ready? This is your exception list. Media player functions. Do not acquire licenses automatically. This prevents Windows Media Player from downloading any necessary licenses. Now, remember, these are things to leave unchecked. No automatic updates. This prevents Windows Media Player from automatically updating. Disable automatic codec downloads. This prevents Windows Media Player from downloading required codecs. Don't get metadata from the internet. This prevents Windows Media Player from getting CD, DVD information. Boy, I like that one because otherwise you get all kinds of junk you didn't really want. I've even had things where I can run my podcast in Windows Media Player and it pulls in information about an album that has absolutely nothing to do with the podcast. So, good thing to disable that. And then under miscellaneous settings, clear page file at shutdown. This will cause Windows XP to take much longer to shut down, but increases security for the paranoid. Okay. Disable integrated firewall. This will disable the Windows XP firewall. Hide computer and network. This prevents your computer from showing up in the network neighborhood. Hold on, I had to hit pause again. Sorry about that. Deny starting regedit.exe. This prevents future use of a very useful regedit tool. And we want to turn that off, or we couldn't have solved the problem that we had earlier. That would be bad. Deactivate scripting host. This will cause features to stop working in web browsers and email. Always show .inc suffixes. This adds .inc to, or link, I should say, L-N-K, to desktop shortcuts. Always show URL suffixes. This adds .url to web browser bookmarks. Don't auto-start CD. This prevents CDs from running automatically when put in the CD-DVD drive. Internet Explorer 6. Disable automatic updates. This prevents Windows Update from checking for and downloading updates. Disable scheduled updates. This prevents Windows Update from installing updates. Disable JavaScript. This will cause some web pages to lose their menus or functionality completely. You don't want to do that. Disable ActiveX controls. This will cause some web pages to lose their menus or functionality completely. Clean website cache on shutdown. This will cause Windows XP to take longer to shut down, but is a good idea for security, so you got to kind of weigh that one. All right, services. Disable auto-update service. This prevents Windows Update from running automatically. Disable task scheduler service. The Windows Prefetcher, BootVis, and Norton AV require the service to be running. We know about BootVis, don't we? Disable firewall connection sharing service. This will disable the Windows XP firewall. Disable Security Center. Prevents the necessary security warnings. Microsoft Messenger. Uninstall completely. That's the best advice you can get. Don't use Microsoft Instant Messenger. If you plan to, you got to leave it unchecked. But you really need to uninstall it, in my humble opinion. Reg SRV 32 DLLs. Under that heading. LICDLL.DLL. Only select this if Windows is already activated. Disable zip functionality. Only select if you have another zip program installed, such as WinZip. Now, it's highly recommended to leave the profile on neutral and adjust the values manually. The presets included, such as the suggested profile, will disable important Windows features such as Windows updates, the Security Center, and Internet Explorer settings like JavaScript and ActiveX. This will break common web page features such as Windows, such as menus and forms, and prevent critical security patches from being applied. The color coding of checkboxes can be further explained in the help file under Signs and Symbols. So, use that program carefully. All right, next couple of utilities are from Steve Gibson, and I really like Steve Gibson. He's a really cool guy, expert at a great many things, including assembly programming and networking and network security. Dude, he's written a couple of utilities you really ought to download and install. You can get them from his website, which is grc.com, under STM, shootthemessenger.htm. That's the first one, Shoot the Messenger. That will disable the Windows Messenger service, a very evil service. You need to run that program to shoot the messenger. Okay, grc.com/unpnp/unpnp.htm. That is Unplug and Pray, one of Steve's utilities that will disable universal plug and play from your system, which is a security issue. So you need to download those two programs and run them. They're very quick, blip, because he wrote them in assembler. They're tiny. It doesn't take very long at all to download them and run them. Okay. Finally, ta-da! TCPIP Optimizer. Go to www.speedguide.net/downloads.php and download TCPIP Optimizer. Download it, run it. Follow the instructions and optimize your TCP/IP connection. If you will do these things, your system will run smoothly, it will run fast, and you will have a good life with your computer. You gotta love that. All right, well, I tell you what, it's about time to slide on out of here. We're nailing the time on the podcast, so that's good. I want you to write me at drbill.com. That's real good. I'm getting ahead of myself. drbill@thecomputercurmudgeon.com. There's where the dot goes, right after the computer curmudgeon and right before the com. That's what you want to do. You want to send me email with your questions, with your comments, with your laud and praise of the podcast. And if you got complaints, go ahead and send those too, because, hey, I need email, all right? Anyway, I guess I'll just head on out of here. How about that? Yeah, okay. Remember until next week that the doctor is out.